Blog Talk Radio.
Another edition of Fighting Words on the Fighting Words News Network. Fighting Words is brought to you each and every night of the week. In grateful appreciation to the men of the United States Armed Forces, men and women of the Police and Fire Services, the doctors and the nurses in the hospital, and the first responders to COVID, and also the wonderful people to clean up after them, and those who clean up the aisles and stock the shelves in the supermarket. They're all very, very good people. They're all very good people that we all need. Tonight, I'm proud to say that for the third time in 2 months, I'm able to announce the graduation with high honors. There's a young man who's gone through a lot of adversity, starting when he was very, very young. And as a matter of fact, at some point in time, gave me every gray hair that I have in my head when I come home and find him at the top of a 12-foot tree. But tonight, we want to send our very best wishes out to Ty Anthony Basso, recent graduate from the State College of Florida, who's now going to pursue his career at the University of South Florida, and hopefully the University of South Florida Medical School. So, Ty, it's always been a pleasure being your grandparent, but you always make me proud, and your mama proud. So we want to, everybody here on the show wants to say, what a great job. You work hard. You deserve everything you get, pal. Okay, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Excuse me. Did you happen to see the UFC fights this afternoon?
I did. I saw some of the last ones. The Josh Emmett fight was just out of this world. It did not disappoint the littlest.
I was very surprised that Tupelo coming on. He's never done a five round fight, and Emmett has, but Emmett sure took a hell of a beating.
Yeah, and usually the reason why Tupelo doesn't make it to the fifth round a lot is because his fights don't last that long because of him. You know, he usually doesn't allow us to go longer than, you know, three rounds, longer than two rounds usually, just because of how explosive, how fast he is. A lot of guys just can't keep up with him when he's, you know, on fire, you know, on a roll. And we saw Emmett not really, I wouldn't say, you know, control him or win against him because he didn't. He was getting kind of controlled, but we did see Emmett actually control Sophia for a little bit and, you know, win at least sometimes, in my opinion.
He was good close up. But Boyd, he moved back 2 feet
Tupura.
Yeah, he had a hell of a leg kick, and then his arm reach seemed to be longer too, because he was just landing some really hard hits on that face.
Emmett is no different. Like Emmett and Topuria, kind of, you know, you look at, not really, I wouldn't say their fight style, but what they can bring to the table, you know, that flashy knockout power, that is possessed by Josh Emmett just as it is by Ilia Topuria. You know, they are in a lot of ways very similar, but we saw in this fight, you know, the differences that Topuria had and the advantages that he, you know, trained with and trained for, and just his fighting style. It was looked like he was a fight ahead, or a punch ahead, I should say, above Josh Emmett, which I did appreciate as a fight fan.
Yeah. So they're talking about him going after Volkanovski next. What's your thoughts on that one?
You said Topuria against Volkanovski?
Yeah.
I would definitely like to see it. I honestly, with the war path that Topuria has been on his entire time with the UFC, you know, countless back-to-back knockouts, you know, finishes, I should say, you know, it's kind of like a destined path to Volkanovski. Now, Volkanovski is a lot different than Josh Emmett, and Josh Emmett is the highest-ranked fighter he's ever fought. He's the first top five-ranked fighter that Topuria has ever fought and went to the fifth round. There are a lot better fighters, and, you know, this is no knock on Josh Emmett, and even though he is only ranked, or he was only ranked fifth, they are, you know, I feel like right past Josh Emmett, it just gets a lot better. You know, every single rank after that, let's say you get it to the champion, Volkanovski, those fighters are just premier. It's definitely one of the hardest divisions to move up in, and with him to do it so swiftly, it's kind of like, it seems like the only guy for Topuria is Volkanovski.
Yeah, the fight before that was two women, Macy Barber and Amanda Ibas. That was a knockdown, drag-out brawl. Macy Barber, she is wicked. She bloodied up, I know it's spelled R-I-B-A-S, but they kept pronouncing it Ibas. And she just took control from the very first round, the very first minute, and then they had to stop the fight after, in the second round, because she had her down on the floor and just pounded the living hell out of her. And it just it was really a very brutal thing. I've never seen a female that fast. I think she could even give Nunez a run for her money. What do you think, Kate? Hello?
I think his mute's on.
Yeah, his mute's on.
My bad. If, I just realized that when you said that. If those are, you know, some of the fastest female fighters you've seen, and I'm gonna agree with you there, she was she looked ecstatic that fight. She looked electric.
Mm-hmm.
Her hands were electric, and it just kind of seemed like, you know, she was in the right spot, in the right position every single time, every single punch, and again, her fight IQ was just, you know, head and shoulders above the other girl. And I do see another kind of one of those Topuria type fighters in her. You know, it's kind of like a war path to the title, in a sense.
Mm-hmm. Tony, what do you think? Canelo Alvarez signed a 3-fight contract with pay per view for $100 million. Is that 3 fights next year? Yeah.
That's a smart man.
Yep.
If they'll call me, I'll do the same thing.
Sure. I'll do it for $1 million.
I'll do it for 500 G's, you know. Just I don't mind going to get my ass whooped for a couple times. I mean, I'll take a pounding for 500 G's.
You could make millions. You're selling yourself short.
You're right, Caden. I love you for taking up for me like that. You're right. Let's go for millions, a couple mils.
I'll be your agent.
You got
You'll
it,
be your
brother.
Agent,
you
I'll be your
you bring in the bank, I pay you good. I'm going to take a couple knockouts, but hey, it's going to be worth it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Try and stay in the fight for at least 2 minutes for the first round.
I'm going to try. I'll run around the ring for two before I take the shot, the kiss of death.
I'm taking one punch, and it doesn't matter how hard the punch is, I'm going down, no matter what.
There you go.
Now I'll go down. Just have the checkbook ready. Speaking of Red, I guess he's going to fight Charlo. I believe they signed a deal this week.
Yes.
I believe it's Jamar Charlo.
Jamal. It's Jamal.
Jamal, okay.
Yeah. Right. I have that here. In October.
Yeah, that one is that's going to be an easy one for Canelo, I think. Yes, he's gone downhill some, but he's still got enough in him that I don't think that'll be a hard one. That'll be a taming fight for him, where he could kind of maybe have his comeback, and maybe if he decides to try to take Bivol after that, we'll see what happens. But, I mean, that's the wrong match, too, obviously. I mean, Bivol, he's not going to beat Bivol. That's just all there is to that. So. Yeah, we'll see what happens, but I think it'll take Charlo. I don't think that's going to be a hard fight for him at all. That's like me going up against Ric Flair, you know. I mean, I could take him in a figure four leg lock right now and just snap his knee, so.
You hear that, Caden? You might want to add that to his resume when you're out there selling him.
Oh, I got it. I'm taking notes.
Take them, because there are millions of dollars involved in that.
Great. Hey, Tony, what do you think of Dylan White versus Anthony Joshua? That was stuff too. Nobody's looking at that one.
You said Dylan White?
Yep.
That one I want to see. I didn't know that was confirmed yet, but I'll tell you what.
Yep.
Anybody that will step in the ring and knock Anthony Joshua out for me is my hero. I don't care who it is. So if Dylan White can do it, which I think he can, I've about had it with Anthony Joshua. He's just a has-been. He's washed up. It's time to go. I'd love to see him. I want to see him fight Deontay Wilder. I want to see Wilder knock his ass out. One was just rear back and goodnight, Irene. It's over. Drop him, and I'll be a happy man. And that hopefully will end Joshua's career and be done. Go back to England, you know, with a tail between your legs, and that's the end of you.
If Usyk can put up that much of a fight, you know, against Joshua, and you know, beat him all those times, then why can't Dillian White? And, you know, I've seen Dillian White with Tyson Fury. So you know that he can, you know, fight at a high level. Granted, he didn't win those fights against Tyson, but he competed. He competed for some rounds, and that itself is just saying a lot. So
exactly. If you could even compete against Tyson, you're doing good. So if Dillian White is, you know, it's not going to be a hard fight for Dillian White, I don't think. It'll be 5-6 rounds because they'll just do their little maneuvers for a little bit, you know, run around the ring and. And then he'll give him a chump shot. That'll be it. He's done.
Hey, Caden, what's the story with Francis Ngannou? Says he's very comfortable with at the heavyweight
CFL
area, and he wants a new belt.
I don't know where he would move. I don't know, because you can't be double champ and move down. Unless there is a higher weight in PFL that I don't know about, then I guess that would be possible. But for what he is right now, he's a heavyweight. So, you know, from my knowledge, that's impossible for him to be double champ unless he were to move down and get the light heavyweight belt and then move back up to heavyweight and get the heavyweight belt. Which, if you were to do that, I just think that would be a lot of, you know, just unnecessary, you know, weight changes and weight fluctuations. And I think if he really wants to be comfortable, then he just stays at heavyweight, doesn't move around, shows why he's one of the best in the world, if not the best in the world. He's going to go crazy in PFL. And I did see something. And relating him and John Jones, they met in public in a club, and it was not an arranged meeting or anything like that. They just kind of met each other out of the blue. And they had a face-off in the middle of this, like, dance floor, basically. And we were just surrounded by a bunch of people, and it was a pretty cool moment. They were just there talking shit, talking crap, talking about how they want to fight each other in the future, you know, who's really going to win that. And I'm sad that's a fight that we're probably never going to see. Because John Jones, in all seriousness, probably retiring soon. Ngannou, you know, by the time that he does make his way back to the UFC, even if he does make his way back to the UFC, because I've heard Dana White say multiple times that he doesn't want to do business with Francis Ngannou. But when it gets to the point where, if it does get to the point where Francis Ngannou is just the bona fide number one, you know, heavyweight in the entire world, then, you know, what do you do then? Because you got a guy like Francis Ngannou, like, Dana White didn't like Ben Askren and still took him back. So I think that could be a case with Francis Ngannou.
Okay. Tony, what's the story with Teofimo Lopez vacating the WBO title for the 140-pound belt?
I don't know if that was a smart move or not, but because he voluntarily vacated it, correct?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, I think this last fight he won, yeah, gave him a little bit of a shift, some momentum, I guess, to go forward a little bit. Maybe he's like, okay, I've still got it, so I'm going to take a next step in and see what I can do from here. But, you know, I mean, he put on a good performance. I mean, I can't really blame him, I guess. Mm-hmm. So probably a good – I wouldn't have done it. I wouldn't have hold the belt and make that kind of money and take the chance. Like, because, you know, Cade and I, we want cash. And a lot of cash.
That's right.
So, you know, I don't know that I would take that chance. But, hey, God bless him for trying. You know, if he could go up there and start beating some tail in another division and get another belt, then, you know, more. Yeah, he's the man.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Caden, what about Corey Sandhagen versus Omar, Umagrabadobadigoodle?
Honestly, you don't have to pronounce the last name. I know who you're talking about. Because he's the only Russian guy in the UFC with the first name Omar. So that kind of distinguishes him enough. So, you know, Corey Sandhagen, and him, they would match up, like, honestly, if you really think about it, they would match up perfectly. And that is a fight that not only I would want to see, but I feel like a lot of people would want to see just because of, you know, what this whole new wave of those, you know, Chechen fighters, Russian fighters, basically just mountain men with Islamic first names and Russian last names. Mm-hmm. You know, if you see that you're facing a guy with an Islamic first name and a Russian last name, just give up. You're mm-hmm. pretty much going to lose. And honestly, I do think that is the same case with this one. I love Corey Sandhagen a lot. I do like his IQ. I like, you know, his movements, his unpredictability. And when it comes to Omar, though, it's just a different breed of fighter you're talking about. You know, it's not the same, mm-hmm. like, you know, you in your face, I'm a punch you in the mouth, you're going to lose your plan. These guys train like no other. They train like no other. And it's been proven so many times just because look at how good they are. Look at how good mm-hmm. every, you know, Russian, Chechen fighter is. Most of them are good. And it just comes down to really work ethic. And every single one of those guys will outwork you. I don't care who you are. Maybe if you're like George St. Pierre, maybe you won't get outworked. But I do see Omar actually winning here. And that might be a little bit of an upset, but I don't really care. Omar.
Yeah. Are these the people that when they go to camp that they actually put them out there and let them fight bears?
Now, there is videos of baby Khabib Nurmagomedov. When he was a mm-hmm. child, there's a video of him wrestling another baby bear, which you could actually go Google that. Mm-hmm. And it's a real video, not Photoshopped or anything like that. It's pretty astonishing. You see a baby Khabib Nurmagomedov wrestling a baby bear, which is outrageous, just outrageous. It just shows you, you know, just a culture change, an immediate culture change. Mm-hmm. You know, guys from different parts of the world and their upbringings and, you know, what the sport of wrestling and combat sports mean to them, because that's really their whole life. You're wrestling a bear when you're, mm-hmm. you know, fresh out your mama. Like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You're crazy. Wrestling a bear mm-hmm. when you're still not even a year old.
Speaking mm-hmm. of wrestling a bear, a little guy wrestling a bear, did you hear who's fighting on the ticket with the Errol Spence and Crawford night on July 29th?
No, I did not.
No.
We got Isaac Cruz, the little bear himself, going against Giovanni Cabrera.
Isaac Cruz was the guy that came in as a substitution in against Tank, right?
Yeah, dude, he won that fight, too. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, I did hear a lot of this. I remember when that fight happened, and all y'all were saying that he put up one hell of a fight.
Oh, yeah, he's back on the 29th, so we get to see what he's going to do. And I'm telling you, if he tears up Giovanni Cabrera, which I think that's going to be an easy fight for him, and there's good things coming this year for fighting. Because he'll get back on there with Tank Davis eventually.
And you really think about it, he put up such a good fight against Tank, and you see guys like, you know, people hyping up guys like Ryan Garcia, and Ryan Garcia had a full, you know, full fight camp, had a full lead up to this entire fight. Isaac Cruz only had a couple weeks, comes in there and puts up a better fight than Ryan Garcia did.
Absolutely. Came out of nowhere. No one even knew who he was.
Oh, yeah.
And
I didn't know.
He was called the Pit Bull for a reason. That guy is amazing. He's going to be one to watch. Mark my words on that one. For sure.
Watching.
Oh, yeah. And shout out to Perella. Perella fights tonight in Minneapolis. I did not know this.
Ooh.
That it was tonight. I was trying to get him on the air last week and this week. I didn't realize that he had a fight tonight, but he's going up against a pretty good opponent. I can't think of the guy's name at the moment, but he's part of the 10-card fight in Minneapolis tonight.
Nice. So maybe we'll try to get him on for next week or the following week just to congratulate him on his win.
Yeah, it's Jermonte Clark. He's going against 10 rounds for junior middleweight. So hopefully he'll take him out and we can get him on here and celebrate next week with him on the air.
Yeah, sure. Hey, what do you think of the it took Jaime Munguia a late surge, man, to to try and he was getting his butt kicked by Devin Clark last week. What's your thoughts? Steve?
Oh, my bad. What were the names you said?
They're talking about him.
Tony. It was Jaime Munguia and Devin Clark.
Munguia?
Yeah.
I missed the fight. Did Munguia win that fight?
Yes, but it took him. It was a 10-rounder, and he didn't come on until about the 9th or 10th round when he finally woke up and figured out he was in the middle of the ring and he better get his ass moving. He was getting pushed around quite a bit in the early stages of the fight, but he finally came out of it. And, whatever he was taking before you got in there, may have had a cold or something. But he came on.
That's a big dude. When I first saw him start fighting, I thought it was going to be one of these guys that's like a Tyson Fury. It's going to be hard to take him out, but he hasn't been extremely impressive over the last couple of years. Not what I thought he was going to be.
Yeah.
And if he's taking that long to get into it, then, he's just a big knuckle dragger. It's pretty much probably not going to make it too much longer. I doubt he'll get any really good fights just the way he's going at this point. But, he kind of shocked me. I expected it different with him.
Caden, what about Anthony Smith and Ryan Son tonight?
I was not aware that Anthony Smith fought tonight. I kind of turned on the card a bit late, but let me get this in front of me real quick. Honestly, before we talk about that, I want to talk about that David Onama fight. David Onama, a lot of people do not talk about him. And I want to put a little bit of respect on his name. And I think a lot of people overlook him. And I remember the only reason I'll never forget David Onama is one time he fought a man named Nate Landwehr. And I can never find this fight. Every single time I try to look this fight up, I can't find it. It is one of the most exciting, technical, crazy fights I have ever seen. And if you do get the justice of watching it, I watched it live, so I had that privilege of doing that. And, ever since then, I've always been a big David Onama guy. And this fight was no different. He came in there, and it was almost like he had the preset knowledge that he was going to win that fight. He set up the jab. Mm-hmm. He was working the jab the entire time. And it was a beautiful knockout, by the way. And he was closing in on him, hit him with the jab, opened up his guard, got in his face, and just hit him with a beautiful uppercut. One of the cleanest uppercuts I've seen this entire night. And it just straight to sleep. And even on the way down, David Onama, his hands are so fast. When the guy was falling to the ground, he hit him three times by the time that uppercut landed and he hit the ground. Three more punches had landed. That's just who David Onama is. And if he does that, time and time again, and I feel like he has the potential to be that kind of gatekeeper almost for this division. I don't really think he has the position to move up and be a top 10, maybe top 10, but not top 5, definitely not champion. But I do think he can definitely be a great fighter in the UFC just by being a gatekeeper almost. But he's a hard fight. But I don't think Anthony Smith fought tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, Frank, I want to touch something real quick about something Caden was talking about earlier with Ryan Garcia. Did you know that the cross-dresser actually sued him this week?
No.
He sued his own guy that lost that match and turned around. In fact, not only that, they turned their back and were gone before he even got out of the ring. And him and I think it was Teddy Atlas or Teddy, whatever his name is, the trainer, he was gone with the cross-dresser. They took off, and now they filed a lawsuit against Garcia saying he was breaching his contract of some sort. And if anything, I mean, let's take a donation up for the show and send this guy a new pair of panties. I think he needs to wear some pink ones.
Yeah.
And Oscar, I'm sorry, you might kick my ass one day, but you know what, buddy? That was wrong. You shouldn't do that to Ryan Garcia. He gave it all he got and took it like a man with his loss. He got in there and he thanked Hank. He shook his hand. I don't know that I've seen more of a man step up after losing a fight than I have Ryan Garcia. Nothing but respect for him. And I wasn't a huge fan. I thought he was going to win it, and he didn't. Mm-hmm. But I'll be honest with you. He took that one like a man like none I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
Just had to point that out because I got people in the Bronx right now. They're just jumping up and down going, oh, my God. Oh, my God. He did it.
Yeah.
He did it. He's going to get – they're loving us, by the way. Shout out to the Bronx. Thank you guys for calling last week, because we love you all.
That's great.
We know you're listening.
Yep. Well, our great fans in New York who called in last week, we really appreciated that. Our numbers actually jumped by 12% last week. And I'm sure that's because of our guests and the wonderful people that called in, his family and everybody else. So we appreciate that. I'm sorry we couldn't take all the calls that were coming in. But if you want to keep on calling in anytime you want to, we'll take your calls.
Anthony promised it, too. He said he was going to bring the ratings to us, and he did.
Yeah, he did.
It was real nice talking to some people. So.
Yep. Kane, what do you think of Talia Santos and Blanchfield?
Thiago Santos has always been, again, like we were just talking about David Onama. He's kind of that gatekeeper for the light heavyweight division.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, there's nothing wrong with that. You shouldn't be ashamed at that. You see him come in there with hard hitting. He also has that crazy tattoo on him with that the massive hammer right in the middle of his chest. How can you not like that? I don't know much about Aaron Blanchowicz, but I'm going to say this. Thiago Silva is no pushover for anybody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, Tony, what do you think of tonight? We got Edgar Berglander against Jason Quigley.
It's going to be an interesting one. I'm not real big on either one of them, but I've seen Quigley fight here and there, and kind of got a bizarre style personally. I think he might be able to pull this off. It's just going to be a bizarre match, though.
Another one I wanted to ask you about was Arthur Medvedev and Callum Smith. It's coming up next month, August the – I'm sorry. Yeah, 2 months. August 9th, 19th.
Arthur Medvedev.
Yeah, the Beater Beef.
That is a dangerous, dangerous man. So anybody that fights him, I'll give you props, because right now he's probably one of the most dangerous men in the sport. And if that guy's going to go up against him, he's going to lose. There's no way he's going to beat Beater Beef. No way. Ain't happening. I will take the extra sandwich on that one.
Whoa. Is going to be an extra large?
Oh, you saw the photos this week. Nice big poopy joopy.
Yep. Hey, Caden, Alexa Grasso versus Valentino Kevinchenko.
Ooh.
Your thoughts?
Ooh. That is one hell of a fight we're looking up to. We have, in one corner, one of the greatest, if not the greatest, I know Ty and Zito have their opinions. And in their opinion, she's the greatest female combat sports fighter ever. And I'm going to still keep with Amanda Nunes, but Shevchenko is definitely a close second in my book. And I'm with Amanda Nunes, I would never vote over her unless, I'm going for some, crazy upset. But I really see no different in Alex Grasso than, all of Shevchenko's last couple fights. But the only thing that's going to be different about this fight is she might be like Amanda Nunes and retire. And I wouldn't be too surprised. And if that does happen, then we're going to be out of an era, if you really think about it. And closing out of an era, even quicker. We have Amanda Nunes retiring. Now we have Shevchenko on the verge of retirement. Glover Teixeira is going to retire. Nate Diaz retired. Nick Diaz probably going to retire, should retire. But honestly, it's just that's the bigger story around this fight, to me at least. But moving into who I think will win, again, Shevchenko. And how? I'm going to go with a third round sub. I say it'll be a classic Shevchenko. She's going to go in there, show why she has that title to her name. And Alex Grasso, her ground game is not too bad, but she will rely on her striking. And she's going to be, I think, very annoyed when she realizes how good Shevchenko's ability to wrap her long legs around Grasso. And it's going to be different. I don't see this fight going for Grasso. I don't see her going her way. But Shevchenko for the win, round three, sub. I'm calling it right here.
Okay. You got that down, Tony?
100%.
Tony, you have one of those little pipers that you could put on there, on the happy birthday things. You could put you lose, Caden, or something like that on the pie.
Absolutely.
Oh, okay. Just checking.
Okay. Yeah. We'll make anything happen.
Oh, yeah, sure. Liam Smith and Chris Eubank next weekend.
Let me ask you, Liam Smith or Chris Eubank? I want to hear what you got to say before I answer that one.
Be perfectly honest with you, I've always been a Smith guy. Of course, it goes back to the old Irish with the Liam, but I think he's a much better. He's got a deeper reach. He's got a lot of heart. I've seen him take some really wicked shots and still come back to the center of the ring and then take his man apart. He does play coy the first couple rounds. I will say that. I've never seen him win anything in the first round or two. But he does hang in there, and he does do a good job.
I agree with you on that. I think he's going to take at least a good 2-3 rounds for him to feel it out a little bit. As far as Chris Eubank, I liked Chris Eubank back in the day. I think I don't remember this last fight he had, who he fought. The one he lost, he kind of tumbled downhill a little bit, I believe, and I don't think he's going to be able to take the victory on Smith. Not this time.
Mm-hmm.
I think Smith's going to definitely get his feet wet first three rounds, I'd say by a, let's just say mid-seventh round knockout, Smith.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Kane, we got one last question for you before you go. Marvin Vettori versus Jared Cannonier.
Ooh, Jared Cannonier. I'm a big Jared Cannonier guy, and I don't know if y'all remember this, but when he had that title fight against Israel Adesanya, I really thought that he was going to be the man to take him down. I thought he was going to be the guy to go in there and silence all the Israel Adesanya lovers. And and it was honestly because of his boldness, his power, and his striking ability, and just his spirit alone. Because he said this before. When he started out in the UFC, he was homeless. He was living out of his car, training at a gym, legit fighting paycheck to paycheck just so he can get by. And now he's, fighting in middleweight championship fights. So his drive is like no other. But Marvin Vettori also has that spirit, that fighting spirit. Mm-hmm. He's got that grit. And both men have fought Israel Adesanya. And I'm going to say this, Jared Cannonier, maybe it's just a little bit of bias for me, but I think he did the better job. I think he put up a little bit of a better fight. And, I don't really like Marvin Vettori's fighting style as a whole. I feel like he is very boring. I don't think he takes risks And he's a very smart fighter, which I do appreciate that in some aspects. But when it gets down to, you know, finishing your opponent, I feel like he's always the guy to hit first. You know, he's going to wait for you to strike, and he's going to calculate off what you hit, off of what you threw. But with Jared Cannonier, you can't really do that because you're leaving your head open or you're leaving your body open or really just any part of you alone, and you're getting hit by Jared Cannonier. That man was once a light heavyweight. He hits like a light heavyweight. Actually, no, I think he was once a heavyweight. He hits like a heavyweight. He has that power. You're going to stand there and get – you're going to, you know, take one to throw one against Jared Cannonier. That's not a very smart strategy at all because one strike from Jared Cannonier could put you out. He's end the fight. And that's what I see happening. I see Marvin Vettori, you know, at the end of this fight with his back on the canvas and his eyes to the light. I see Jared Cannonier in here. I want him to fight for the title again because I love Jared Cannonier, and I really hope he can just for his career as a whole. But, yeah, I'm going to take the round two for Jared Cannonier.
Wow, okay. As long as you're in that winner's circle now, let me ask you this one. USFL playoffs are this weekend. Tonight you get Pittsburgh versus Michigan. What's your thought on that one?
I'm gonna go Pittsburgh just because they have the better, you know, I think they have a better run defense, and when it comes to execution on offense, their mobile quarterback is just a lot better than the Panthers quarterback, who this is only his second game, so
right.
very unproven. But moving on to the other one, the Stallions game, I think the Stallions win that one as well.
You gonna take the Stallions tomorrow?
I think, I'm taking the Stallions tomorrow over the Breakers, I believe.
Yeah, I don't think anybody's going to beat I really love Skip Holtz, so I'm glad to see him do so well, but I don't think anybody's going to beat them this year.
Yeah, I don't think – they're just destined to win.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Good. They have the MVP quarterback on their team as well.
And, you know, Wednesday night we're going to have Vinny Papale on with us, young Vinny Papale from the –
Oh,
the,
nice. The Showboats.
Showboats. He's the son of Vince Papale, another good friend of mine. So he'll be on Wednesday night with us. So if you get a chance to tune in and listen. If you got any questions about the league or anything, then he'll be glad to answer them.
Definitely.
Okay, Kate, I know you got things to do, and I appreciate you giving us the time, and have a good weekend.
All right. Love you, Pop. I'll
take care, Caden.
Oh, yeah, always. You too, brother. Peace.
All right, buddy. Think dollar signs. We're going to do it, baby.
Okay, Tony, last week we had Marcio Lara lost to Lee Wood. I just didn't seem to see anything coming out of Lara this time. Did you have to catch it?
I saw bits and pieces, and honestly, I almost think he was sick. Maybe he just happened to have a bad night with the flu or something. I mean, he didn't make any excuses or anything, but he didn't look well, and it's kind of hard to believe that he lost that one. So maybe something we didn't know about.
Yeah. What do you think about tonight? We've got Adames versus Williams. Eric Adames. You got anything on that?
I don't know. I'm kind of stuck in the middle on that one. I really don't know which way I would lean. Who's the underdog in that one?
Adames.
You know me. I'm an underdog guy, so I'm going to lean that direction. But that's the same venue that Perella's at tonight, I believe, as well. So.
Yeah. Okay. And we got,
yeah, I'll go with the underdog on that one.
All right. What do you think about Giuseppe Casamaro versus Adam Kalinake? First, I had to look back and see if it was the Kalinake that had been fighting years ago.
Yeah. Gosh, Kalinake, he hasn't fought for, what, 3 or 4 years, right?
Right.
I think the last fight, I can't remember who it was, but I know I saw it. I don't remember who it was. that's a long time to take off to come back to start fighting, especially as big as he is. If he stayed in shape, he's a great fighter, and the boy can take a beating. I mean, he can. Mm-hmm. That boy can take some lumps and keep going. So he's got it in him. It's a matter of what kind of shape he actually stayed in these last couple of years that he's been off.
Mm-hmm.
If he hasn't done anything, I mean, maybe that's the fight I'll take to make my money. You know,
mm-hmm.
I'll go in there and clean his clock.
Oh, okay. So then we have the last one. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, that's an easy fight. You know, Caden and I will be rich off that one alone.
There you go. Regis Pedraza last week had a fight with Darryl Zarelli, and he won. What'd you think?
He should have. I mean, honestly, Regis is not a bad fighter. I kind of predicted that one anyway, but it didn't wasn't quite the fight I thought it would be, but I was leaning in the corner that he'd win that one.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The last one is Anthony Romano versus Auburn Mercier. That's on the one that he didn't get with Caden, but I think that's going to be a Romano win there. I think he's just too much for Auburn.
Yeah, I'm not as up on the MMA stuff as Caden, obviously, but I do know those names. I think you're right on that one. That is one of the ones I do know a little bit about, but that was my goal this year, to spend a little bit more time trying to stay up on the MMA stuff as well as all the boxing, but we've got so many good boxing matches coming up this year that it's going to be hard to stay tuned in just one area.
You know, something came on the trades this week about Benavidez's father wants Morrell for the next fight. He doesn't want Morrell for the next fight. He wants Mongoya or Bivol. What's your thoughts about either one and the outcome? Benavidez versus Mongoya or Bivol?
I think he could beat Munguia or whatever. I think he could beat him. I don't know if it'd be a knockout. Probably not. I think he would definitely beat him just on points. Bivol, that would be a tough one. And I love Benavidez. I was a little disappointed in that last fight. I thought he could have done a little bit more. And because of that, what I saw, I don't think he would be able to beat Bivol. He's not going to knock Bivol out, I can tell you that. That's going to be either Bivol knocking him out, which Bivol's not an extreme knockout artist. But so if you're going to go by points, I don't see Bivol losing just because with that jab he's got, just the same way he did Canelo. If you could beat Canelo with the jab and stay in the distance and moving around the way he did, as much as I love Benavidez and I would hate to go against him, because he's one of my favorite ones, I'd have to say, I don't think he'd be able to take Bivol.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be a decision match. It won't be a knockout.
Mm-hmm. Okay, do you watch USFL?
No, I haven't had time to even hardly take a shower half the time.
It's been a very a breath of fresh air as far as football is concerned. It's all young kids or guys who have been up to the show and didn't make it, earned it back. And it's been a tremendous 11 weeks. It culminates next week with the championship. Next week with the championship. But we had a local boy, Vinny Papali. Vinny's dad and I worked on the field in 1963 with the Eagles. They kept him, and I was relegated to be a tackling dummy. But Vince went on to be one of the best wide receivers and special teams person that Dick Vermeil has ever had. And we're glad to see Vinny last year played for the at that point was the called the Tampa Bay Bombers, and that team didn't come up with enough money this year to go, so they started Memphis started the team, and he went over there with a couple guys, and he's been the leading receiver for them. He was named a first string all USFL team this year. And my other good friend, Skip Holtz, who coached here at USF, as well as being the, he was a student coach and trainer with Notre Dame, with his dad was the coach, Lou Holtz. So it's always fun to see two guys that you know doing so well. Skip is now the was named the coach of the year for USFL.
Excellent! Congratulations.
Yeah, they really, really good people.
Yeah,
so that just brings.
I've heard you talk about the. I've heard you talk about those names several times in the past. Yeah, I've heard you mention them.
They're just people that Vinny and I've been friends for over 60 years, and what a nice guy. But I want to thank you for coming on and staying on with me, and the other guys, everybody, just so everybody will know, Ty and Zito had to work, and so did Bob. So our crew was down to our faithful three, Tony, myself, and Caden, and I've always said that Caden is my brain trust when it comes to fights and actually soccer too. We appreciate it.
He's definitely an encyclopedia, yeah. That's for sure.
Yeah, he's his Uncle Bobby to a T. You ask him anything to about sports, music, or anything else, and he can just rattle it right off. We appreciate that. Does anyone lead us out?
You sure do. First, I want to thank you for having me on. This is right around, I think, the three-year mark, if I'm not mistaken. And I've enjoyed every minute of it. Your family, I miss Ty, Z, Bob, everybody. You know, it's just a good group to get together on Saturday night. And I know the fan base is getting bigger. And I want to thank Anthony Calarossi. I know you're listening. I appreciate you bringing the street team from the Bronx, listening in and calling in, and we're going to get even more of that coming, I believe, here real soon. Nurse Sherry, love you. I know you're listening. Just got back from a trip. Thank the fans, military, law enforcement, and firefighters for everything that you do. And the only other thing I want to say is www.saintsdissenters.band. Check it out if you're an 80s fan. And see what you think. Florida's rock and roll band, baby.
Hey.
Other than that, love you.
Hey, I'll hook you up with Benny Henderson. You do a segment on the hardcore Henderson on a Tuesday night.
Okay.
Sounds
wonderful.
Thanks again, sir.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen,
thank you.
These programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces. Men and women, police and fire service. When you're out there and you see somebody in uniform, please let them know you know they're there. Not everybody wearing a uniform is a bad guy. There's an awful lot of good, hardworking people out there, men and women. So please give them a chance. Give them an eye wink, a handshake. Thank them for their service. Remember, they're the people that are running into places when everybody else is running out. Is dedicated to those who lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman Jeffy Colcap, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffy Yazowitz, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Rick Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Wilson, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant James O'Connor, Philadelphia Fire Department, Sergeant Chris Levy, Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department, Patrolman Anofo Christman, Lakeland PD, Lieutenant Joe Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Deputy Josh Meyer, Nassau County Sheriff's Department, Captain Matt Laterno, Philadelphia Fire Department, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Artith Hope, Wilmington Fire Department,
Lieutenant Jerry Pikus, Wilmington Fire Department. Trooper Joe Bullitt, Florida Highway Patrol. Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol. Chief Al Hogan, Longwood Creek Police Department. Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department. Deputy Mike Hargrove, Pinellas County Sheriff's Department. Deputy Blaine Lane, Polk County Sheriff's Department. Deputy Chris Meyer, Polk County Sheriff's Department. And Sergeant Chris Fitzgerald, Philadelphia Sheriff's Department and Temple Police Department. My brothers and sisters, though you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the rose rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your family always in the palm of his hands. Good night. God bless and have a great week.
Shemalek ma'ilama, shemahezahir ma, sona shenevorat fed, hakuig again ma'il ma.
County Dispatch 1999, County Dispatch 1999, County Dispatch 1999. All units be advised, 1999 has responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul and all the souls of the faithful departed. Good night, boss. We love you and we miss you.